The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back as we head into Hour 2. I am Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960, coming to you from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, which is brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Let's see where we're going here. Tony in Tempe. Hello, Tony.
Oh, hi, Seth. Thank you very much. The reason I'm calling is going to sound like a non sequitur, but it's really not. It's this solar eclipse that is going to happen on April 8th. I'm sure people are aware of it. It's going to pass through America. The last time it happened was 7 years ago. And I just wanted to mention a website for yourself, and I'm going to call them your students, your listeners, with a great presentation, great teaching on the meaning of this solar eclipse. And when I say meaning, I mean the biblical meaning. Uh-huh. And when God set the sun, moon, and stars in the skies, he said, Yahweh said, it was for signs and seasons, of course. And the solar eclipse is for the nations, the Gentiles. Lunar eclipses are messages to the Jews. And it's not really complicated unless you're not familiar at all with the Old Testament and the Jewish feasts. It's not a Jewish system, it's God's system. But this is a great presentation. Can I go ahead and give the website out
to
you?
Sure.
Okay. It's preacher in there. The guy's name is Troy Brewer, like a troy ounce of gold, Troy, and then Brewer, like to brew tea or beer or whatever, Brewer. And then Daystar, capital Daystar. And so he's going to tell you some fascinating things about this latest impending solar eclipse that's going to cross our country.
Okay.
And then another guy, Jimmy Evans, these aren't too long. They're like, I think, about 35 minutes each. Jimmy Evans, who reviews the Israel war and how that's playing out as far as the end time scenario, biblical prophecy. Okay. And so anyway, for your listeners and people who might be interested in this, I will tell you it is absolutely fascinating, and I just wanted to get the word out to everybody who might be interested.
Well, thank you, Tony. I'm trying to think of music that involves solar eclipses. I guess we have the total eclipse of the sun, right? You're So Vain, and then there's what, Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. But Tony's bringing it here to a slightly higher level, higher authority. Thank you for that. Appreciate you. Dave is in Bullhead City. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Seth. How are you, buddy?
I'm well. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
First off, let me get this out of the way. As a new 2-week resident of Arizona, I am all in for Kerry Lake.
Good, good, good.
And to my main point, I've listened for 30 plus years to a lot of conservative people that I have faith in and enjoy their opinions. And I have heard just in the last few days, people start bringing up the Eighth Amendment in Trump's defense. Now, I was just listening to some folks talking about how as recently as 2 or 3 years ago, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of all people, brought up the fact that she invoked the 14th Amendment, which says, you know, federal law supersedes state law, and by which she invoked the 8th Amendment. Okay? You can't penalize punitively bail or fines excessively. Now, my only question is that's all well and good, but from the time this judgment came down from this wacko judge of $500 million nearly, what has been done to help the 14th and 8th Amendment get imposed before this deadline expires? Because once it expires, you know, he basically has no recourse than to let them basically steal his property with no recourse after the fact. And I'm just wondering, you know, is there any way the Supreme Court would hear this before the deadline?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it becomes an issue for the United States. I just don't know, Dave, but I'll tell you what I will do. I have someone who is much more expert on this than me, and if you'll let me speak with them tonight, I can talk about it more wisely tomorrow. I would hate to give false information as much as I would hate to give false hope, and it's not my area of expertise. My area of expertise starts in the single digits of the Bill of Rights. But if you'll let me do that, I will report on it more tomorrow and see what those options are as you've cast them. Yeah.
If they can do this to him, they can do it to anyone. And the point is, there are amendments and constitutional issues in play here to prevent precisely what's going on. But if no one acts on them, then what good are they? Yep. Is my point. Yep. You know, I mean, you can just step in and take $500 million of someone's property away, and they have no recourse than to sell it for pennies on the dollar and have to rebuy it back at market value.
Yeah.
It just makes absolutely no sense to me that our Supreme Court would let that stand. And they see it happening.
Yeah. I had a call like this, similar, Dave, yesterday. And the point I was trying to make is while these are, you know, judicial, quasi-legal, and judicial decisions, you know, all of them emanate from political choices we make as Americans. There are political solutions to all these things. If you don't like the way the federal courts are handling certain issues, whether they have to do with Donald Trump or whether they have to do with the border or whether they have to do with the interpretation of Title VIII and immigration or you name it, First Amendment, you know, those judges on the federal courts at the trial and appellate levels, as well as obviously the Supreme Court, those are all based on the political decisions that we make when we vote for a Republican or a Democrat. Presidents appoint those people. When it comes to judges in our states and district attorneys or county attorneys, these are offices that we vote for. Judges usually on retention, not necessarily in the first instance, but appointed by a governor who we vote for. District attorneys or county attorneys, they are always elected. These are all political judgments. So the reason I raise it, and if it's basic civics 101 or basic civics 1 even, I don't mean to be Captain Obvious about it. I mean this. Nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change in this country with regard to runaway judicial decisions like this until we decide as a country, as a people, that we're not going to vote for the kinds of politicians that believe this way, that appoint these kinds of people. Nothing is going to change until we get damned active about every part of what it is we are electing our office holders to do. And this is why we cannot be complacent about these. I, for 25 years, have been trying to make the case about, you know, certain Republicans that run for certain offices, particularly the Senate or the presidency, that may not be to the taste of every flavor of conservative or every flavor of Republican. But I've been trying to make the case that the most important damn thing that they're going to vote on is the judiciary, the president in selecting the nominees and the Senate in confirming or turning them down, approving them or turning them down. And, you know, These offices matter. If you don't think the district attorneys matter, if you don't think the judges matter, look at what they have done in the ruination of our major cities. Look at what they have done in the ruination of our politics. Look at what they have done in the ruination of candidates. Look at what they have done in trying to keep candidates off the ballot as they lecture us about being threats to democracy. Look at how elaborate they take and how seriously they take their jobs when they run for office and how they exercise power. If we could be 75% as serious about policy and law as they are, we wouldn't have these problems in this country. We wouldn't. But these are all, at the end of the day, almost all is an exaggeration, almost all of these things have a political solution because they came from a political problem. And I you know, I never really was a great huge student of Immanuel Kant, but I have been fascinated lately by his writings on the morals of metaphysics and this point that you cannot will the ends unless you will the means. And if you think, as you said, Dave, you know, you're all in for Carrie Lake, that's great, and it sounds like you're going to be active for it. But with my other, you know, friends or acquaintances, say, well, maybe I'll vote for her. Why would you vote for her and do nothing else? Well, because I think she's better than the other guy. Well, then you better damn well will the means to get her there. It's not going to be enough to do it on a certain Tuesday in the first Tuesday in November. It's not going to be enough to do just that. If you want a Republican to win, get active. You cannot will the ends unless you will the means. Friends, the folks at Midas Gold Group have told me the U.S. government and the Fed will have no choice but to eventually steer interest rates lower, because if they don't, the current level of interest rates will bankrupt the nation. There's no telling when the dam will break. But when it does, Midas wants to make sure you have flood insurance. In this case, gold. Call Midas Gold Group now. Look into the opportunities gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call 480-360-3000 or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Midas Gold Group is the nation's number one veteran-owned gold IRA firm. Protect your assets. Call 480-360-3000. That's 480-360-3000. Midas Gold Group. Always faithful. MidasGoldGroup.com. Mr. Bill, were you always, since you were politically observant, were you always a conservative or a Republican? Yeah, you were. And what about you, David? Were you always? Did you convert? Do you have a conversion story?
I don't know. This is an interesting story.
No, it's just a yes or no question. Yes, I was always conservative. And no,
be,
I wasn't
I
always.
I used to be a little red in middle school.
Okay, fine. So that's a perfectly good answer. I was too. People change in their younger and more vulnerable years, to quote F. Scott Fitzgerald, right? They change when they're young. They often, not all, but often, well, you know, think one way in high school and maybe even into college and get older and mature a little bit, and their political philosophy will shift. How many people do you know, Mr. Bill, that have changed their political ideology after the age of 60? Now, I am aping Adam Carolla's point here, so I want to make sure the credit is given, but I don't believe that we have a huge Venn diagram of people that listen to me and Adam, but maybe we do, and so much the better. Young David, what?
Frank Sinatra.
After 60? I don't think so.
He turned 60.
He was 50 in 1966.
Yes, and he endorsed Humphrey.
He didn't endorse Nixon in 68?
Mm-mm.
You sure about that?
I can pull up a commercial.
No,
to
I'll
prove
take
it.
Your word for it. Okay. So Chuck Schumer and Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. That's the
That's
realm.
It.
That's the realm. Why do I make this point? When Joe Biden was giving his State of the Union and called the alleged murderer of Lake and Riley an illegal and then an illegal alien or an illegal immigrant, it took him 72 hours to apologize and retract that and say, I shouldn't have said illegal. I should have said undocumented. Because that's where the entire warp and woof of the Democratic Party now is in speaking about this issue. May I give you Chuck Schumer at the age of 59 in 2009? I shall.
Plain and simple. Until the American people are convinced that we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we will make no progress on dealing with the millions of illegal immigrants who are here now and on rationalizing our system of legal immigration. That's plain and simple and unavoidable. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration, which the American people overwhelmingly oppose. If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong, and we have to change it.
He's declaiming against the euphemism undocumented worker. Age 59, 2009, Chuck Schumer.
We cannot call them undocumented workers. It tells the American people we're not serious about illegal immigration and illegal immigrants. All phrases and statements he said, and I think it's wrong, he said. So, this isn't just to make fun of Chuck Schumer, and I don't know his motivations. I think mostly he's a media hog hound, but it does show you the power of the left and the ideology. Was Adam making the point too? I think he was making the point too that if you took most speeches from that Democratic Party of Bill Clinton's in the 1990s and didn't tell people who it was or what party the speaker was from, whether it was welfare or whether it was a balanced budget, whether it was capital gains, whether it was foreign policy, whether it was technology, whether it was even such things as the safety of our children, or even, frankly, abortion. Safe, rare, and legal was his mantra. Safe, rare, and legal. If you played any of those speeches today for someone and didn't tell them, you know, who was speaking them, they'd think it was a Republican. I think they'd think it was a not because Republicans sound like Bill Clinton, but because Democrats don't sound like that anymore. Democrats don't sound like that. They don't even sound like Chuck Schumer the year Barack Obama was sworn into office when he was 59 years old. This is how powerful the left has moved the Democratic Party. Powerfully, the left has moved the Democratic Party. This is how powerful ideology can be. And I think if there were some kind of enterprising journalist who would take a current speech of Chuck Schumer's or even Joe Biden's retraction about the murderer or the alleged murderer of Lincoln Riley and play it for Chuck Schumer as they play those 48 seconds of comments in a otherwise long speech. But, you know, you could do it throughout the speech. I just, you know, have limited time here. What changed, Senator Schumer? What changed? You said undocumented communicates the wrong message that we're not serious. You said illegal immigrants are what they are, and it's wrong that they come here illegally. That's what you said. What changed? What changed? Chuck Schumer turns down no interviews. The joke in Washington is that the most dangerous place in D.C. is not Southeast D.C. or Ward 8 at midnight. It's between the microphone and Chuck Schumer's mouth. He will take any interview that is offered. He is not a hard get. He loves the media. He loves to talk. The question is, does the media, does the journalistic profession, does journalism love what they're supposed to be doing, which would be to ask him this question about that speech and that soundbite? By the way, it wasn't at just a rally or anything like that. It was at Georgetown Law School, a serious place. Believe me, he spent a lot of time honing that speech for Georgetown Law because he always likes to pretend. He always likes to be seen as the smartest guy in the room, and Georgetown Law is no slouch of a place. He well-honed that speech, and he declaimed against using the phrase undocumented worker and said we should call them illegal immigrants because that's what they are and what they are doing is wrong. That's what he said. What changed? But of course, no one will ask him that. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, coming to you live from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, which is brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Young David was right about something, but I wasn't totally wrong either, and it's important that we know this just so David understands his place around here.
Compromise? Impossible.
I asked, how many people do you know have changed their political opinions over the age of 59 or 60? And you said Frank Sinatra. Now, Frank Sinatra did change his mind, but he was 52. So I get that valence. But he did change his mind.
52.
And I didn't know him. And you were right. You were right. He did endorse Humphrey. Do you want to play the Humphrey thing? I didn't know he did that.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Frank Sinatra. I'd like to tell you about a man. He's a man who promised he would stop the bombing in Vietnam as an acceptable risk for peace. He's a man who promised that he would bring peace and order to our streets. He's a man who said that every American child has the right to a full education. Now, the man I'm talking about is Hubert Humphrey. But before Mr. Humphrey can carry out his plans for our country, he must be elected president.
Okay, good enough.
And for this to happen,
52,
he needs your help.
52, not 59. 52. But if you listen to Hubert Humphrey, he wouldn't know the Democratic Party today either.
The happy warrior?
He just wouldn't. No, I mean, and, you know, on so many levels.
But I think what we're missing here is, as you said, in 1972, the only person that turned Frank Sinatra conservative was one former movie star, Ronald Dutch Reagan.
1970, I think.
70, yeah. Yes, in 1970, because in 72, Sinatra was already performing at rallies for the president.
Okay, but I wonder,
President Nixon.
You know, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to this. Do you think Sinatra would have endorsed Reagan in 66 for governor? It's possible. Even though I know he endorsed Humphrey in 68, it's possible, right?
I don't think so.
You don't think it's possible?
Go back and look.
Just based on
Sinatra
friendship
was,
and stuff?
Pretty close to the...
But he was already ticked off at the Kennedys so much. He was ticked off. He was really getting ticked off at the Democratic Party by that point. Mm-hmm. So I think it is possible. How is it, this is the one thing I don't know about Frank Sinatra, it took young David to figure out the one Achilles heel I have on Sinatra. I don't know if he endorsed Reagan in 66 for governor. And we'll just have
to find out.
We'll have to carry on in our ignorance.
Stall for more time.
No, it's all right. Hey, listen, let me put in a word for our great event next Tuesday. I promise you, no singing, except patriotic stuff. We're doing our Fighting for Freedom event. We're bringing in Mike Gallagher, Brandon Tatum, myself. We expect to see you there. It's going to be a great event. Arizona Christian University. We'll have some other special guests there, too. Young David will be there, so you can make sport of him. And I'll introduce you around to young David. And we're going to be talking about the big issues on your mind, how to think about them, how to talk about them, get your feedback. And thanks to our sponsor, our generous sponsorship from YRefi, they have underwritten much of the event for general admissions, so the prices are as low as they possibly can be. I don't know if we've ever had an event with prices this low, thanks to YRefi at the general admission level. We also have VIP tickets as well, 960thepatriot.com. Mike is very much looking forward to it, Brandon very much also, and me. I can't wait. We hope to see you there. Anything else, young David, I need to say?
Well, you got to tell the listeners about our special code.
You tell them.
If you're a Patriot Insider out there, I've emailed most of you, but if I haven't gotten to you yet, you're one of the lucky ones, but it's coming. And listen up, because we have a code for you. It's appreciation. If you're out there listening to this broadcast or you're a Patriot Insider and involved at 960thepatriot.com, go there. Use the code APPRECIATION when you're ordering your tickets, and you'll get a buy one, get one ticket. Put one ticket in your cart. Use APPRECIATION, and you'll get another one.
Great. Thank you very much. And that's next Tuesday evening at Arizona Christian University.
Next Tuesday evening.
Mike Gallagher, me, Brandon Tatum, and some others. It'll be great.
I have an answer.
Oh, you do?
I consulted the annals of the New York Times.
Okay.
And in 1970, they cited An Evening with Frank Sinatra filled the Oakland Coliseum.
Oh, I know that concert. Yes, that's 70.
Yeah.
You know, I know that. We were asking about 66.
Yes.
You said 70.
In 1966, when Reagan defeated Edmund Brown,
yeah.
An Evening with Frank Sinatra filled the Oakland Coliseum with non-political types who contributed about $90,000 in net profits to the Democrats. So I think at that point, he was more so towing the party line and less about the man.
All right, so not Reagan 66, not Nixon 68, but Reagan 70 and Nixon 72.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 55 at the oldest, 52 to 55. Okay, good work. Thank you. Be right back. This is Seth Sleepson here for my friends in the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, that belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do. A controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call to veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, 480-360-3000, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 480-360-3000, MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it, MidasGoldGroup.com. There will probably be a fair amount of audio going around with regard to the hearings today with Tony Bobulinski and Hunter Biden's other partners. I don't know if this will make the cut of the most popular that goes around. I think a lot of it will probably be opening statements and maybe a little of the AOC nonsense. But this is worth it. It's Representative Byron Donalds of Florida, and I wanted to just share it with you lest it get lost in the ether. There's no point to these hearings if you don't go to C-SPAN or Twix or whatever and get them around. You got to replicate this stuff. If you're relying on the media to just pick it up, you're relying on dust.
Now, to the money flow, because this is where the rubber meets the road. On August 3rd, they actually stipulate through WhatsApp text messages the exact stipulations of the deal. On August 4th, $100,000 is wired into Owasco PC from CEFC Infrastructure. Mr. Chairman, I want to submit for the record a portion of the bank statement for the time period August 3rd of 2017 to August 31, 2017, stipulating $100,000 going from CEFC into the bank account of Hunter Biden through Owasco PC.
Without objection, so ordered.
On August 8th, 4 days later, $5 million is then transferred from the Northern International Capital account of $5 million to Hudson West III. Hudson West III is a bank account controlled by Hunter Biden and Mr. Gon Wang, a.k.a. Kevin Dong, who is a CEFC associate. That money comes from the Northern International Capital a bank account that is tied to the CCP. Mr. Chairman, I want to submit for the record the bank statement demonstrating that transfer.
Without objection, so ordered.
Okay, moving on. On August 8th, the same time period, there is a wire transfer of $400,000 to Owasco PC from the Hudson West III bank account. That $400,000, Mr. Chairman, I have the transfer records in the bank accounts from the August time period. I want to submit that for the record.
Without objection, so ordered.
Now, here's where the fun stuff comes in, everybody, and I got a minute to do it, so we're going to get this done. On August 14th, there is $150,000 that is transferred from Owasco PC, which is controlled by Hunter Biden, to Lion Hall Group, which is controlled by James Biden. I have the records here, Mr. Chairman, of the $150,000 that has gone to Lion Hall Group from Owasco PC. I want to submit that for the record.
Without objection, so ordered.
On August 28th, and I believe we have a screenshot for everybody in the room. On August 28th, Mr. Chairman, we have the withdrawal ticket from Lion Hall Group that is signed by Sarah Biden, who is the wife of Jim Biden, for $50,000 to withdraw from Lion Hall Group. I want to submit that withdrawal receipt for the record.
Without objection, so ordered.
On September 3rd, on August 28th, actually, Mr. Chairman, we have the deposit reference into Sarah Jones Biden's account on the same day she withdrew it from Lion Hall. I want to submit
without
that.
Without objection,
the
to ordered.
Last document. On September 3rd, 2007, from Sarah Biden's own personal account, there is a check that is written to Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the president of the United States today, for $40,000, signed loan repayment. A loan repayment, by the way, that Joe Biden's own personal accountant, Mr. Eric Schwerin, has no record for. I want to submit that for the record, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, so ordered.
To the members of the committee, it is clear that the source of this money came from CEFC. And at CEFC is a company that is directly linked to the CCP and actually the chairman of the CCP, the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Chairman Xi Jinping. With that, I yield.
In other testimony today, Tony Bobulinski said that Hunter Biden lied to the committee. He said he blatantly lied to the committee about Joe Biden's involvement, President Biden's involvement with Hunter's business. And when Hunter Biden denied that his dad was involved in his business, he said that was a blatant lie. And they went through testimony after testimony of places, events, and times where Joe Biden was on the phone or in a meeting that involved Hunter Biden's business dealings with either Burisma or in Ukraine or Chinese companies owned by the CCP or involved, or at least partially owned by the CCP. A lot of people are on the right saying the United States is compromised. I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is that Joe Biden lied in his campaign to run for, when he was running for president, and ever since when asked about this. I'll tell you what else I don't know, because I don't know. I don't know if he knows he lied. I don't know what Joe Biden knows. 2 days ago, he gave a speech where he said he met with Xi Jinping several times, traveling 17,000 miles with him, hiking in the plateaus of Tibet. This story has been debunked at least three times with four Pinocchios. Never happened. Just never happened. I don't know if he's talked himself into his biography. I don't know if he doesn't know his biography. I don't know if he's deliberately lying. I just don't know. But it should be frightening. And even if it's the most innocent, it should be frightening. If someone is told on at least three prior occasions in the last 2 years that you got to stop telling this story because it isn't true, and he keeps telling it, what does that tell you about that person? Tells you he can't understand what he's being told, or he doesn't care, or he won't take advice, or he's just happy to perpetuate the lie because it suits his interests. I never want to hear these complaints about Donald Trump again. I never want to hear them again. It's about small stuff with him. This is about big stuff. We'll be right back. Portions of the show brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. YRefi offers a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. With YRefi, you're in control. You can turn your income on or off, compound it, whatever you like. With YRefi, there are absolutely no fees. With YRefi, there is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. And of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises. They're headquartered here. You can visit them. Their offices are on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. I've been there any number of times. There's no sales pitch. You won't be asked to sign a thing. They leave the selling up to me. Check them out online if you don't visit with them at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then R-E-F-Y.com, or give them a call at 888-YREFI-24, 888-YREFI-24. Speaking of lies, I don't know what the Democrats have to run on right now. Fever pitch rhetoric, I suppose, about threats to democracy that bear no relationship to reality. We have the controlled test. We have 4 years of what a Trump presidency looked like. It wasn't a threat to democracy. It wasn't a threat to the economy. It wasn't a threat to our allies. I don't know if you can say that about the last years of this presidency, the controlled part of the experiment of this presidency. It wasn't a threat to democracy. So there's that. And what they're trotting out now, again, with all the possibly famous interviews she can get, is Christine Blasey Ford's new book. You know about her? Remember her? She was the accuser of Brett Kavanaugh. Oh, my gosh. The ladies on The View just ate her up. That could mean two different things. I meant, yeah, that's probably not a good way to say it. They just lapped it up. Maybe that's the better way to do it. They lapped it up. They just were fawning all over her indictments of Brett Kavanaugh. Go to the Federalist. Read Mauling Hemingway's piece there today. 21 Reasons Not to Believe Christine Blasey Ford's Claims About Justice Kavanaugh. It should be the end of the story. It should have been the end of the story a long time ago. It's the end of the story now. We'll be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.